Hello, you're listening to On The Point, the news collective show formerly known as Democracy Watch, bringing you alternative and undercover current affairs from Vancouver and the Lower Mainland. I'm Zachary Tharp.
I'm Akshay Kulkarni.
I'm Adeline Ping.
I'm Alex Trabolsi.
And I'm Isa Yu. It is Thursday, March 12th at 5:08 p.m. We are broadcasting from UBC's Vancouver campus on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
We have a thought-provoking show for you this evening. So it's mostly discussion-based this week around. And first, we'll start off with coronavirus, and then we'll go on to the Vancouver City plan. And yeah, so let's just kick off. So coronavirus, it's all anyone's ever talking about these days. It's always in the news. So we're going to be discussing the local response to it and, you know, what our thoughts about it. So obviously, if you've somehow been under a rock for the past few months, the coronavirus is the new novel sort of, it's like the flu, but worse, essentially, is the way I describe it. Originated out of Wuhan, China, spread all over the world. The WHO, the World Health Organization, I believe it was today, although the past 48 hours have been sort of just a blur in just how many things have gone on. We can talk about that later. But I believe it was today when the WHO announced that it is officially a pandemic. Might have been yesterday, which means, obviously, we all know what that means. It means it's a disease that's very, very infectious and is spreading rapidly all over the world. And let's talk about the global response to it. So yesterday, I believe, again, as I said, time has sort of been a fluid concept the past few days. But yesterday was when Donald Trump announced that the U.S. has banned all incoming and outgoing flights to Europe, excluding the U.K. for weird reasons. We could talk about that. And to bring it a local perspective, just today, a few hours ago, British Columbia has advised against all non-essential travel anywhere. So not just to regions that have large cases of the virus. I think the way it was described as Adrian Dix, the health minister, which is quite funny. No quarts of milk in Bellingham, no trips to Paris or Berlin or Boyce. And I think that's the only time ever people have put Boyce and Berlin or Paris in the same sentence. So let's talk about this. So Canada and British Columbia, I mean, they haven't banned travel entirely, but it's sort of the most drastic measure that Canada has taken thus far. We've been one of the few countries that have been sort of slow to the crisis. I mean, the U.S. ban was obviously yesterday, but there have been far more drastic measures that they've been undertaken. You know, Italy's closed its borders long ago. Some argued way too late. Japan, South Korea, all of those countries have taken huge drastic measures. So let's just start off with this. So right now, if you're in British Columbia and you need to travel to the U.S. or anywhere, really, it has to be an essential piece of travel. So what do you guys think of this? Do you think could be doing more? Do you think it's too little too late? What do you guys think?
What do they define as essential travel?
I don't know.
I think it's business and probably trade related.
I'm going to look this up because I don't think we should be going off of what you think.
Okay.
Wow, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting because it's like all Europe, but the UK not.
Yeah. Which is interesting because the Prime Minister Trudeau's wife had coronavirus was being tested for coronavirus after a trip to the UK. So it's kind of odd why that is one of the only nation excluded from the Europe travel ban.
Yeah, it's like I don't understand why, because like London Heathrow is definitely one of the busiest airports in the world, having destinations from basically everywhere coming in, and why countries in Europe are more like, we're just going to ban, you know, all these European countries. Like, there's just not that many cases. I understand Italy, but they're already locking themselves off. So they're not flying. No one's flying out of Italy anyway. So I don't understand why they're doing that.
Cutting in, essential/non-essential travel is basically up to like the traveler. There's no legal guideline, nothing. Like, there's no, there's nothing fantastic stopping you. Even if you like you shouldn't, but if you know you have it, there's really nothing stopping you unless you get like caught at the border because you're like, I don't know, hurling or something.
I mean, that's not actually a symptom of coronavirus, so we don't want to spread misinformation. You can't really vomit.
Okay, my bad. You're but, like sneezing at the border.
Actually, it's not sneezing either. It's mostly just coughing. But
yeah, you're coughing.
Yeah.
At the border. Akshay, really coming for me here.
Yo, we're the news collective. We need to spread accurate news. But anyway.
We're not Facebook.
We are not Facebook. And we're not Twitter. Anyway. So, I mean, that's actually a very valid point. Because coming on to a second topic of discussion, the start of Vancouver's cruise season, which I actually didn't know was a thing, is going to apparently happen in a few weeks. And the coronavirus chicken Grand Princess, which is a cruise ship full of people, is apparently still scheduled to sail. So that is obviously, I mean, I don't know whether, apart from cruise staff, I don't know if anyone would consider the traveling of a cruise ship to be essential travel. And that is still technically on the books. So I don't know why that's still going ahead. But there's actually a petition on change.org right now with around 7,000 supporters trying to get it to in Victoria, BC, to stop cruise ship dockings, to stop the spread of the coronavirus. And again, I don't know if many people know, but there have been cruise ships off the coast of Japan and everything who have like huge case of coronavirus. And the problems with cruise ships is that they are closed environments. So if the disease spreads within the cruise ship and passengers disembark, that means it spreads far and wide very quickly. In fact, there are many cases in the US which shot up because people from cruise ships were sent back home and then the infection spread. So obviously cruise ships are a huge topic of discussion, and I don't think that's really essential travel, but that's still going ahead. What do you guys think are like the priorities of the province here? Because they haven't stopped cruise ships going yet.
It's all about the money, baby.
Cruise ships bring in a lot of money each time. Because like they have the cruise ship coming in from San Francisco, and that was the one that had all those cases of coronavirus. And it's going to be up here at, you know, I don't know, what's the dock again downtown? Canada Place?
Yeah.
That's going to come up here, and then it's going to go on to Victoria. And I'm sure it probably costs at least $30,000 to $40,000 just to dock here in Vancouver, because they were restricted to just 200 or something a year. So it probably costs a lot of money, plus all the resources that cruise ships require to be unloaded and offloaded at port.
I wonder if their priority is just to try keep it as not necessarily business as usual as possible, but to sort of keep it as, it's not that serious, guys. Come on, we don't have to ban every kind of travel into BC. We need this money. Yeah.
I think it's also because you don't want people to like freak out, and they want it to be contained, and no one, you know, you don't want rioting and looting.
I don't think anyone who can afford a cruise ship is going to riot.
Also, to be fair, if you like, you're spreading it. Like, wait, I lost my train of thought. Let me get back to y'all.
Okay, so I was just going to say that a lot of, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm clowning on people who go on cruises, but it is a huge industry, and I can sort of see like the argument for it, because like if you're older age and you go on a cruise ship, all your needs are taken care of, like, you know, you get food and like you get to see the sights, whatever. So I can see why people do it, even though I'm never going to do it in my life. But I think the fact that the province still hasn't like canceled the cruise ship dockings and like the journeys yet, I just don't see why they're not doing that, especially since they're canceling all other travel anyway. Oh, and also something I forgot to mention was, if you come into the province from anywhere now, even if it is completely like Antarctica, you'd still have to isolate yourself for 14 days. So I think that's like the most drastic the province has ever gotten. And I was just curious, like, do you guys think there should be more? Like, do you think we should, I mean, we're still at UBC, we're still broadcasting from the Vancouver campus. Do you guys think we should not be here? Like, what should our next step be?
I mean, going back to what I was about to say, I think, like, if we know that, like, the cases are confirmed on the cruise ship, having them dock here is, like, putting, like, locals in a certain amount of danger. And, like, I'm not trying to, like, fearmonger, but I'm just saying, like, we have to, like, why, like, it does seem like money is the objective here, and it almost seems to me as if, like, in this case, from what I understand, like, this money is, like, being prioritized over the possibility of, like, spreading this. And the people who are going to be dying, like, who, if there are deaths, are going to be the ones who are, like, very vulnerable in our society. And, you know, it's probably not necessarily going to be the people who are at our age, I suppose. Yeah. Or like people who have like respiratory diseases or stuff like that. Like that's not. So I do think it feels a bit like giving up on like, or just like saying like, oh, I was going to swear. it was just saying like, we don't care about you if you're like a vulnerable person, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously the people working on cruise ships aren't as rich as the people who are actually on the cruise ships. So, you know, being served. So that is certainly a valid point. But yeah. So just coming back to overall response, what do you guys think of British Columbia's response?
Well, another thing to consider is that currently when you're repatriating the passengers from these kinds of ships, the government's organizing it so that like a plane flies them back to the Canadian Forces base in Trenton, Ontario, and they'll be quarantined there for at least 14 days. So this is basically like government resources and military. They have to be in charge of this. And there have been some recent cases where the cruise ships say, oh, I'll take care of the costs, but how long are they willing to do that? And how long is the government willing to keep bringing people back using the resources that they have?
Right. I mean, and continuing on with the idea of like what resources should be used, I mean, they're obviously going to be, the government's going to end up spending a lot of money handling, or not hand, I won't say handling right away, but dealing with this crisis. Yeah, we'll go with that word. Dealing with the crisis as it is right now, I don't know if they're kind of getting cold feet as to spending more in case that might be turned into a little bit of a political quagmire. Oh, look at how big our deficit is. We're going to totally ignore the fact that we have this huge deficit because public health crisis. But guys, liberal mismanagement brought us this deficit, not this huge health crisis, guys. Like, I feel like that might be kind of the concern for the governments when they're thinking how much they can spend on this. Maybe not necessarily for the province of BC because it is having a bit of a surplus right now, but for the federal government at least, they are very much thinking of the money they are putting down on this.
I was just going to say as well, like we often just don't like, because the Canada announced like a $1 billion to like. As a stimulus package to like make sure, you know, workers can stay home, and like it's not as good as it could be, in my opinion. But like I just love how like the sort of pandemic has like obviously made people like really panicked, and like they're buying like toilet paper for whatever reason, or like hand sanitizers. But like people are getting so panicked now about like their job and like whether they can stay home and work from home or like study from home or, you know, all that stuff. Why don't we ever get as concerned about this when there's like not a pandemic going on? Like these are like job security and, you know, personal security and social security are all things we should be talking about all the time, like this, with the amount of urgency that we're talking about right now. And that's just crazy for me.
I think people are talking about it more because it actually affects them, and like they feel threatened, and so they have an incentive to speak out. If it's happening to someone else, it's easier to kind of stand by or just like not pay attention to it, if that makes sense.
And also going back to the province's announcement about for citizens to avoid all non-essential travel, as of now they did say that people who do travel will need to stay home from work or school for 14 days. So going back to the need to like keep your job and not be affected by this like as much as possible, we do have to start accepting now that this will affect us in adverse ways if the more travel that we do. So
I also think it's better that it affects us, like it inconveniences us, and we kind of like try and contain the virus versus like trying to pretend that like nothing's wrong and then it being too late and having like a large portion of the population being infected.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like people responding to it, along with like buying toilet paper, the hoarding of disposable masks, the BC Dental Hygienists Association is warning that there could be layoffs and there could be cancellations because they are running out of masks. So if you're considering buying those disposable masks, don't. Health professionals need those to do their job and keep us healthy.
Where should we get, as like an alternative then, I guess, like non-disposable masks or just...
Well, I mean, medical professionals advise you don't need masks anyway. So I don't know if, like, obviously the one of the stereotypes we talked about a few weeks ago was the sort of Asian looking man with a mask being used to portray, be the face of this crisis, right? And I think there's a misconception both here and there about what the masks actually do. Because if you're sick, if you're sick yourself, the masks stop droplets spreading to other people. It's very minimal, if anything, if you wear the mask when you're not infected. So realistically, you just shouldn't need a mask at all. Like, you should just be washing your hands and not touching your face, if that. And also just, like, you know, just be aware of your surroundings. Masks in general, just don't do that much unless you're already sick.
Or, like, if you're concerned, like, use something else to wrap your face up. Like, you don't need to use, like a surgical mask, you know?
Yes.
Zachary here has pulled up his sweater to
demonstrate this. Yes.
Oh, yep. My God.
Not taking any chances here.
Yeah, so there are cloth masks, and, like, those types you can also make by yourself, too. So it doesn't necessarily have to be. And also, you have to be, like, fit tested to wear the N95 mask. So, like, even health professionals, they have to be, like, they have to test that it fits. So it's not something that you can just pull up. Slip on. You know, it might not. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, like, bottom line is, if you want to make sure that our health professionals can have a solid response, stop taking their supplies, guys.
Yeah, and I'd say for the province's response, the risk to Canada is still relatively low at this time. So, like, I feel like they're doing enough. I still don't think we should close. I mean, they should probably close schools because children are obviously more at risk. I don't know whether they should close all institutions and stop work like they have in Italy, because the situation isn't as bad here. But, I mean, as a joke, I would say they should close the southern border because there's way more cases in the U.S. than there is here, as Donald Trump, in a very totally not racist way, did to Mexico, which is actually quite funny because Mexico has lower cases than the U.S. does. But I would say as a joke that they need to close the southern border, but we shouldn't do that. But I'd say the response should be more like, we should encourage, the Trudeau government has been trying to do, but they should do more in trying to encourage sick people to stay home. Stop trying to spread it, because we can't really stop the disease right now. We can just stop its spread. And yeah, that's what we should sort of do. And yeah, Alex wants to say something.
Just really quickly. Yeah. And I mean, like, obviously our government can do more. I don't think we should be expecting it to happen in like 3 seconds from now. But you should always, you know, government websites exist for a reason. You can always check them to see if there are any updates. Your university websites exist for a reason. Check those. And check the news as well, because if you can't find them on the government websites, chances are there have been some media releases between.
Yeah, so for more information on the counts and the cases, you can follow BC Center for Disease Control on Twitter. And there's also some formal press releases online on their website, too.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to just play a few, take a little ad break. And then we'll be back with more, I guess, coronavirus content.
But, yeah.
More interesting content as well.
COVID
so
content.
Here we go.
Excuse me. Hi. I was wondering how I maybe might potentially get to be on the radio.
Oh, word. Yeah. You can do that at CITR on Discorder.
I'm sorry?
You can cover events and issues in the city and interview people, or you could join a collective and work with people with similar interests to make a show collaboratively, maybe make a few friends.
Oh, wow, that sounds superb.
Totally. Just email volunteer@citr.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
Oh, I definitely will. Thank you so much.
My lord, I need a creative outlet. How on earth can I channel everything that's inside of me?
You know you can do that at CITR and Discorder, right?
Pardon me?
Yeah, you can illustrate for Discorder magazine or take photographs of events and artists, and they can teach you how to use Photoshop in their media lab.
That is so exhilarating. It fills my soul with lightning.
Yeah, just email volunteer@citr.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya, Anthasiakulia, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustail.
Lord, I need a creative outlet. How on earth can I channel everything that's inside of me?
You know you can do that at CITR and Discorder, right?
Pardon me?
Yeah, you can illustrate for Discorder magazine or take photographs of events and artists, and they can teach you how to use Photoshop in their media lab.
That is so exhilarating. It fills my soul with lightning.
Yeah, just email volunteer@citr.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a clothing.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture. And that's been around for centuries.
Ta-ta. Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
We're back. Thank you for listening to On the Point at CITR 101.9 FM. So we've been going through a bunch of headlines about COVID-19 in the province and internationally, and also having a discussion about this. And so we're back with more on this now.
So something we just continuing about the province's response. Something that is sort of dystopian almost was retired British Columbian doctors were asked if they're willing to re-register in case COVID-19 gets worse in BC. I mean, we talked about the province being generally okay with the response so far, but like that may be a sign of things to come if things get really, really bad. But, you know, fingers crossed, nothing really happens. And now we can talk about fun stuff. So Disneyland that got closed?
Disneyland in California.
Well, it got closed because of COVID-19, which is, it's quite sad, but like, I'm just trying to imagine all the mascots in their costumes not doing anything anymore, and I find it very funny. Many sporting competitions all around the world have been canceled. We can talk about the NBA soon because that's very funny to me too, but the NHL got canceled today. The Premier League, which is soccer in Europe, one of the managers tested positive for coronavirus, and they haven't canceled it yet, but if they don't after that, I don't know what's wrong with them. What else got canceled? The MLB got canceled. The NBA was quite funny as well. I'll get along to that in a bit, but let me talk about the NCAA because they technically haven't canceled March Madness, which is the upcoming basketball competition for their unpaid student athletes. But they initially made it only behind closed doors, but now all of the competitions that feed into March Madness have been canceled, so it's not going to happen. And someone tweeted this amazing joke card, which I found very funny. As I mentioned, the athletes are unpaid, but like everyone who owns the programs makes millions and millions of dollars. It's a really exploitative, terrible industry. But like someone tweeted out that like, oh, I'm sure all of the CEOs of every single NCAA team are going to get by on all the exposure they get during the NCAA because like no one's playing. It's quite funny. I thought that was very funny. But yes, let's get to the NBA now. And this is possibly the funniest story of all. It's also very, very sad, but I find it very funny. So the Utah Jazz center, Rudy Gobert, he had a press conference, I believe, 2 days ago where he wanted to sort of mock the hysteria around COVID-19. And as he ended the press conference, he made a very public show of like spreading his hands all over the mics and like all of that stuff. Everyone laughed about it then. But then going up to their match, I forgot who the match was against. It might have been the Toronto Raptors. They were almost about to tip off. They're about to play the game with a sort of half-empty arena. And then a ref ran onto the court, you know, telling them to stop. And then it turned out that Rudy Gobert, who had just made that very public showing of doing that to the mics, tested positive for coronavirus. And and obviously he was playing the match. And everyone in like the Utah Jazz locker room was very angry with him. I just found that extremely funny. I know it's like really, really sad that the reason the NBA had to suspend the league and, you know, cut off the enjoyment and jobs of so many people was because of like one very stupid basketball player. But I find that extremely funny. I don't know why. And yeah, so, and also all churches in Rome have now been, have now also stopped giving service because of COVID-19. So just, I'm curious, you guys, like, what do you think as British Columbians, allegedly, what do you think what do we think is going to stop now in the province now that all this stuff has stopped?
Well, still not classes at UBC, but, you know, we can cross our fingers and hope. I mean, obviously sporting events have been taking it pretty hard. I think lacrosse has been canceled. That's real fun. Fun sport. But beyond that, I think most of what will be hit by cancellations is probably just going to be that just like public gatherings, really. I wonder what's going to happen with Storm the Wall here at UBC.
Yeah, I just hope they don't set up too much before it gets canceled. Like, great. Who's going to pick up? I know, I'm like, who's going to pick up all that mulch?
I mean, British Columbia has actually banned all gatherings of 250 plus people.
Oh, boy.
So
what about our lectures?
We don't know yet. We just actually got an update from the UBC right now, and Alex is going to read it out for us.
Well, it's a long one, so strap yourselves in. I'll go to the bolded ones here. Provincial Medical Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry, the BC Center for Disease Control, Ministry of Health, and Vancouver Coastal Health are leading the coordinated response to COVID-19. UBC is taking direction from the province as we plan and consider next steps. Our healthcare partners have requested UBC to continue operations as normal at this time. That is the main takeaway that you should have, is that your classes are still not canceled. Even if your lecture is 250 or more people, well, you got to learn. Unfortunate.
I mean, as I said previously, I still, maybe it's because I'm a total nerd, but I like going to classes. That's not why they shouldn't cancel them, but I think that's kind of the overthrow response, because I don't know if everyone saw this, but universities in the US have like been extremely stringent. Like, I think Howard kicked out everyone who was on its campus, including international students and students who like literally don't have a home because of coronavirus. And I just think that's dystopian. Like, you should not do that. And like, if UBC does that, that's just way over the top. You know, like, that's just crazy. And like, we're not there yet.
I also wonder, like, if UBC does decide to maybe partially cancel classes, what that release would look like if they found out like which students had coronavirus, the litany of buildings you would have to self-isolate if you had visited at all, considering how much travel goes on here. But I think partly this is also in the email they sent out at 5:16, which is they are not aware of any presumptive or confirmed cases of COVID-19 among the students, faculty, or staff. But it's important that we, being the university, take steps to prepare ourselves.
For sure. And I don't know, I feel like that's, we're talking about sporting events, we're talking about gatherings with more than 250 people. And like, there's actually a petition. I don't know how many signatures it has right now, but there's a huge petition saying, you know, you should cancel classes. I don't know whether that's just people being lazy or what, but like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a huge nerd again, but I don't personally think UBC should cancel classes yet. If there is a case of coronavirus, I could see why they would, but the risk is very low as of now. Also, the Junos have been canceled, which is, I guess, kind of sad for the Canadian music industry. And Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh have both isolated themselves, which I don't think is a good sign, because like Tom Hanks also got the coronavirus. Everyone's just like dropping like flies, you know, it's just pretty sad. But yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but like in 1 hour yesterday, Trump announced the travel ban. We found out that Tom Hanks had coronavirus, and then all of the drama with Rudy Gobert happened and the NBA got suspended in 1 hour. It felt like years of my life just on Twitter. And I was just looking at all this. And I was like, what on earth is happening? Like, I felt like so anxious yesterday, honestly. I think that's a thing we could talk about, which is like just the moral panic of the coronavirus and how like the like society is responding. And we talked about people hoarding toilet paper, which I think is crazy. But like, how do you think the media has portrayed the virus so far? Like, what do you think they're doing well? What do you think they're doing wrong?
I would say doing wrong, for starters, with the toilet paper is just, I don't know, it's people's fear, leading them to buy all this toilet paper. And then because everyone else is buying it, I need to buy some too. Yeah. And then it's like you start with this huge snowball effect of just everyone buying toilet paper.
Their pupils dilated when they saw toilet paper flying off the shelves. Yeah, and they're like, all right, like, boys, we got our headlines.
It's a big conspiracy with big toilet paper companies.
And big Purell.
Yep. But I think it's just people can easily become afraid of these like diseases. Because I remember when swine flu came out, same thing. And then especially when Ebola became a thing. And it's like, oh, my God, you know. I might get Ebola, even though, you know, it's 2,000 miles away and, you know, people are, it's like, it's not, you know,
around the clock, glossy graphics.
And then people also get, there's like the teacher that got fired or, lost her job because she went to Kenya and they were afraid that she might bring Ebola back, even though the distance between it was like Sierra Leone and those West African countries that had it. And Kenya was, it's thousands of kilometers. And it's like, oh, she might have it because, it's like, no.
I mean, I guess in terms of like the Canadian media's response to it, they're definitely helped by the fact that no real prominent Canadian figures are acting not dumb, ignorant about COVID. They're kind of just... You don't have like any political leader coming out saying, "Oh, coronavirus is not real. It's not a real issue. Guys, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." Yeah. Pulling Rudy Gobert.
Still very funny. I'm sure the league is going to like ban him or something. I think that's a natural response, but it's quite funny. We talked about a few weeks ago how the media, especially Western media, is just doing a really bad job of the racial undertones of how they're portraying this virus. But one thing I want to talk about was, we talked about how they are emphasizing the fact that people are hoarding toilet paper and hand sanitizer, whatever, which they kind of should, because I guess that's like a public interest sort of thing. But I think the media is like, they're not thinking about the nuance of like the way they report, because I know I said dropping like flies earlier, but like, that it's the, I think the rate of people dying from coronavirus, novel coronavirus, is like 3% or something among the confirmed cases, if I'm not wrong, which sounds relatively low. I mean, I think for seasonal flu, it's around 0.8%, something along those lines. It's orders of magnitude more, the novel coronavirus. But when you see a bunch of, I mean, if you go to CBC right now, you will see like 50,000 more cases of coronavirus, whatever. And like a lot of people assume that's like 50,000 people dying. And that's just not. There are people in all around the world who have had coronavirus and have recovered. And the amount of casualties, like in terms of people dying or in terms of people being left debilitated, not very low in comparison, but very, very, like, it's a drop in the ocean compared to what the media are portraying it as. So I think there, I know the natural response is to say, oh, there's a middle ground to be taken here. But I don't know whether it's a consequence of like headline culture or what. But the media, like, is I'm sure the disease is very infectious, but the media should like do a better job of like saying, guys, you shouldn't panic this much. Like, maybe panic a little bit, but don't panic this much.
Yeah, and 24 minutes ago, CBC, I mean, common to harp on CBC, but they're paid by taxpayer dollars, so I'll do it as much as I please, put out a quote from a Canadian infectious disease expert reading, "We're in this really unstable phase of the pandemic. That's not helping fears about this situation. That's not the kind of headline you want to put out if you're also going to put out stories about how hoarding disposable masks is causing problems for the healthcare, not healthcare industry, but causing problems for healthcare professionals." I just feel like they're kind of finding this hard balance between wanting to get people to read about coronavirus and also being accurate about the seriousness of it right now. It's not saying it's not serious, just saying not super deadly.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I don't know, like a lot of the media have made very huge plays about, you know, where we're trying to get as much coverage about coronavirus as they can, which I can respect. But, you know, you have to strike a balance between your public responsibility and just looking at something while it's popular. Like, I it's stupid to say that a virus and a pandemic is popular, but that's just the impression you get from seeing the media coverage, and that's not how it should be. I want to read more stories about people who have recovered from coronavirus. I want to read more about the healthcare professionals behind it, rather than like, oh my God, there are 50,000 new cases, because come on, like, who cares? I just feel like that's so overhyped.
And also something that was interesting to see, like, people's responses online and on social media about the hoarding of the sanitation supplies and everything. I think I saw someone ask, like, why didn't we make sure we have enough soap and hand sanitizer before? Like, it seems like suddenly we suddenly need to have all this awareness about sanitation. I do feel that, like, the community steps, like putting up posters about how we should be adequately washing our hands, like, it does help. It's just that it is interesting to see how suddenly, like, it feels like we need to be reminded of basic steps, you know? So, I mean, this could be an opportunity to kind of look at the ways in which we view hygiene as a whole, you know, and also ways which we can possibly save the environment a little by traveling a little less. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have such high hopes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Of course.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Oh, my Lord, I need a creative outlet. How on earth can I channel everything that's inside of me?
You know you can do that at CITR and Discorder, right?
Pardon me?
Yeah, you can illustrate for Discorder magazine or take photographs of events and artists, and they can teach you how to use Photoshop in their media lab.
That is so exhilarating. It fills my soul with lightning.
Yeah, just email volunteer@citr.ca and they can help you get started, or just come into the station whenever.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at CITR. So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
All right, I'm gonna do it raw. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we. You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France. Montreal. What the f***?
It's the script.
I couldn't even. What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Okay. Fountain, okay, just fine. Back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR production department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
All right, welcome back after that very interesting ad. All right, so we're shifting gears a little bit. We're going to talk about Vancouver's city plan. Now, this is a drive from the city to sort of gauge how its citizens feel about the future, how Vancouver should look, how Vancouver should just go about its life, really. Now, things aren't looking too good, to be honest. Answers were collected from about 10,000 survey responses, 1,000 interviews, and around 80 community meetings. 55% of respondents said their life in the city is, in fact, getting worse, not better. The urgent priorities for everyone were, or the main urgent priorities for the respondents were housing affordability, homelessness, climate change, and transportation. 15% of respondents said their lives are getting better. 30% said their lives are about the same. These ain't good margins. These are not good margins, everyone. Last month, the city said not enough diverse voices were responding, and they wanted, more diverse voices because the majority of respondents were English-speaking, over 40, and without young children. And to quickly plug this, if you do want to get involved, the website is vancouverplan.ca. vancouverplan.ca.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the proper introduction to this. And I mean, I guess it's unsurprising that most of the respondents said the way they did. And just to add context to that stat that Alex mentioned about 90% of the respondents were English speaking, only around 74% of the city is actually English speaking. So that's quite a big disparity between Vancouver as it is, reality and the survey respondents. So one of the respondents said, we're going towards a monochromatic culture. Like if the housing unaffordability goes on, we're just going to create a monochromatic demographic in this city. And yeah, I completely agree. The way we talked previously on the show about how Chinatown is being gentrified, and you know, already like about how Fraser Street and everything else has taken on so many different dynamics. And yeah, housing unaffordability being the top issue is unsurprising, and the city isn't doing enough to address it clearly.
Also, like, I'm pulling up the survey, and I might have the wrong survey, but this has the city of Vancouver plan on it, so I assume it's the right one. And it's interesting how they point out the majority of the respondents were English-speaking, but I also think, like, if you really, really wanted people who weren't English-speaking to, you know, reply to your survey or fill out your survey, you should, like, have different languages. Like, I could be wrong, but I'm on the website right now and I haven't found it. Oh, wait. wait, let me see if I can find it.
This is live reporting here on CITR 101.9 FM. You won't get it anywhere else.
Well, first of all, let's see how many languages they have. One, two, three, four. There are four languages, two of which are Chinese. Yeah, French is not on there, I don't think. Which is kind of funny. Wait, let me see if I can do the survey in Chinese.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I was also like wondering, so we talked earlier about closed schools and everything, and I'm reading this Vice article that talks about 22 million students, like kids, rely on school lunches in the United States, and like what is going to happen if no school, and it's just like, because people rely on going to school to get their lunches and stuff that's paid for by the government. If they can't go to the school, how are they going to get food? And it's basically just kind of like talking about that for low-income students. Adeline, do you have anything to say?
Oh, so just tying into how the Union Gospel Mission has come up with a plan to ensure that, like, in the case that, because if you're homeless, you know, it's harder to isolate yourself and have, like the resources in case you come down with this virus. And so their plan, so it's still in the initial stages, but one thing that they're starting to do is look at the possibility of offering hot meals to go rather than serving them in a cafeteria, because these people, mm-hmm. like, you know, these are like the daily services that they use. So that could be one possible
initiative.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that perfectly ties into what we were just talking about with the city plan, because homelessness was the second most talked about issue up there with housing unaffordability. And in times like these, when there's a pandemic going around, like the stark situation of those less advantaged than us is put into perspective, because if you're homeless and you get the virus, there's no access to healthcare, nothing even close to anything that we enjoy. So like the fact that the city, I mean, housing unaffordability is obviously closely linked with homelessness to various degrees. But I think the fact that the city is just shown for so many years that they're just unwilling, but not taking the proper steps to sort of look at this issue in light of the pandemic is pretty crazy.
I don't know if it's necessarily no access to healthcare for some, but it might just be that, you know, you're not respected in healthcare. Like when you go to access care, and most of the providers may just see you as like, oh, this patient is like a 5-minute problem. We'll just give them some antibiotics or whatever, and then just kick them out the door and we're done. And I wonder if that could also, like, you have one strain where you don't have access to healthcare, and then you'd have another strain where you have access to healthcare, but you're just not respected. You don't feel like you should go there in the first place because you're not going to be treated like a human being, like a patient. And I wonder how much of an effect that would have as well on responding to COVID is, because it's not just homeless people who would feel disrespected by healthcare professionals. And I wonder how much of an effect that would have if, say, you don't speak English as your first language and you may not feel comfortable talking to a healthcare professional who can't properly communicate to you what you should know, what you shouldn't know. Yeah, we're shifting around quite a bit here.
I mean, I think it's a very valid question to ask, because we've already seen that asking retired doctors to come back into the service. We know medical services in this country are already always strained because of constant underfunding by governments. I'm not surprised. But I think that's another question we fail to ask often, is that funding of healthcare is one thing, but it's about how we choose to, where we choose to put the money, because more diverse voices in each industry, especially in a city like Vancouver, with, we talked about 15% of the city doesn't speak English as their first language. That's a very valid thing that we don't talk about enough, and I feel like we should, especially in light of this pandemic. As I said, this pandemic is bringing to light concerns that people should be talking about more.
Concerns that even part of the pandemic.
Exactly. Like, these are concerns that people have had for years and years and years. But what is it about this one bug that everyone is just putting these things into perspective? Like, why can't people have perspective naturally, guys? Please.
Well, if you're homeless, it's also you're also less able to access news sources, particularly since like some papers like the Metro, like they've shut down, so it's not as easy to get like in print newspapers. You know, they might not be able to access like all the online sources that we've been accessing so far regarding this virus too. So like the community hygiene practices, they might not be aware of, and that would be dangerous in this situation when they're living outside.
This is sort of continuing on this strain we've had with government responsibility, is I'm curious about how much of a responsibility does Vancouver itself have to get homeless people involved in the Vancouver plan and in learning about it. That's a question to be answered at another time, but it's just a question I would want our listeners to sit on.
Homework.
So, I guess, does anyone else have anything else to say?
I mean, I could talk for years, but it's fine. We will stop.
Yeah. So, that was basically our show. Thank you for all the listeners listening to our heated debate and discussion, I guess, coronavirus.
So heated.
This has been On the Point by CITR. We're here every Thursday at 5 p.m. bringing you local news. Stay tuned for more amazing programming. Up next is Heavy Content. They have great stuff. Keep listening and stay safe, Vancouver. And we'll see you next week. So, bye.